hello. Welcome to Healthy Perspectives, a podcast that takes on current cultural and social issues through a clinical lens. Hello, hello. All right, welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us. As always, we appreciate your time. Today, I want to talk to you about gender-affirming care. So my hope is you're in a good place to listen, be open, and all that kind of stuff. But I also think you ought to forward this on to every practicing clinician in the world, all of them. Because unfortunately, as a profession, and I am a working therapist. I do clinical counseling as my profession. But we have failed the people miserably as a group. And I'll explain why. But more importantly, this is something you could share with anybody who is struggling with identity work. Identity work is not the same thing as gender affirming care. Okay. So gender affirming care is what I'm going to talk to you about today. But if they've got identity issues, the solution is the same for gender affirming care and identity work. Just replace all this stuff that's being, thrown at you with as being called gender affirming care. Replace it with identity work, and you would have a working solution, which means as therapists, we've known this for a while. There is nothing new about gender dysphoria. There is nothing new about identity issues and fighting through new identity creations. We are constantly evolving as people, or at least we ought to be, if we're doing growth work. And growth work is identity work. It's who I was, who I am, who I want to be. But what is gender affirming care? Let's break it down for you. Gender means to wonder if our when we're talking about gender affirming care, at least the gender part is taking a look at social and cultural norms, as well as what it means to be the birth sex that you were born as, male or female. So you get things like masculine and feminine. I've done so many things on this in the past, so I'm not going to bore you to death with what we've already covered. But essentially, gender is the idea of taking a look at, do I subscribe to the cultural norms? That's the way it's perceived in our current state. Do I subscribe to the cultural norms? So for instance, the fact that most men on the planet would fall more onto the stronger scale, that's not a surprise. That's part of the male gender. All right. Now, socially and culturally, that has some different connotations. Now, if I were to say that women can't do the work of a man, that would be mostly true, but partially false, meaning there are going to be women who are stronger than men. That's a fact. There are nothing surprising about it. There are going to be men who are weaker than many women. Also fact. But the vast majority of men, when you put them side by side with women, if you were to do a random sample, you would end up with very few, if any, women who could out-strength test a man. Now, I'm not saying that that's, going to be grounds for they can't be firefighters or police officers or whatever. That's a ridiculous statement. That's a cultural norm. So when we look at gender, that's what we're doing. We're saying in this classification, what are the natural tendencies? Now, if you fall outside of the norm, it doesn't mean you're less than. Matter of fact, oftentimes that means you've been given a gift and you should absolutely use that gift wisely. Let's take a look at affirming. Affirming means to build up, to strengthen. When we say affirming, that's usually me saying, I want to, you're recognizing a gift you have. And I want to emphasize that so that you use that gift wisely for yourself and for the community around you. It's great to affirm things that are built into you as a person. If you are, let's say you have some confidence issues going on right now, but overall, you are a very intelligent person. I want to affirm your intelligence, if factually you are intelligent, of course. But what if you're unintelligent? Do I want to affirm your intelligence? No, not in that particular category. I would be like, look, this is just one of your weaknesses. I should not affirm something that is not real. So gender affirming means to affirm, to prop up, to help you see that your gender is a significant part of who you are. Okay, I can do that, as long as it doesn't contradict reality. If you're not smart, and I tell you you are smart, and you build up this false persona of being super intelligent, but in reality, you're dumb as a rock, I have failed you as a therapist, because now you're going to go out there and you're going to blame other people for not being smart, when in fact, it's you that's not very smart. I should never do that as a therapist. That's actually unethical. It's really unethical, because I'm setting you up to fail. And that's not cool. And then we call it care. Gender affirming care. What is care? Care means to hold space for. It could also mean to help you see. So like when blind spots come in, if you were going to a doctor, it would be to manipulate your biology as to maybe reduce pain or produce more healing from within or something of that nature. So when we talk about care, if I affirm a fantasy, is there any way in the world that could ever be perceived as care? No, I can't affirm your fantasy. Matter of fact, I would exacerbate the symptoms, hence the movement that we see right now. Gender affirming care, as it's being taught to therapists, is unethical and wrong. Gender affirming care in reality ought to be affirming your biological gender and confronting cultural and social norms, not telling you you could be something else. To confront the cultural and social norms, that's a perfectly fine and reasonable way of doing gender affirming care the correct way. Right? If I say, look, you should not limit a person from being in the NBA if they have the talent and the skills to be in the NBA. So if a woman wants to be in the NBA and they have the talent and the skills to do it, by all means, go be in the NBA. But to say all women should have the same exact expectations as the men, or that a man could pretend to be a woman and go do women's sports, not okay, right? Confronting the culture is fine, but promoting the fantasy is wrong. It is unhealthy. It is unacceptable. And in my profession, unfortunately, many counselors bought into that stuff. And they should stop. Straight up, if you don't understand what I am saying right here as a counselor, if somebody forwarded this to you because they thought, hey, you're a counselor, you should see this, and you don't understand what I am telling you, you should stop treating anything that has to do with LGBTQ. Anything. Because clearly, you're going to promote an unhealthy fantasy. See, we can promote reality and simultaneously confront culture for the misperceptions The generalizations that we make sometimes don't fit. Sometimes. It's rare because we've gotten really good at looking around and saying, huh, statistically, 90% of the male population or more is more masculine than 90% of the female population. And what does masculine and feminine mean? Meaning stronger, meaning, you know, there's a lot of things. We could detail that out. Let's do that if you have any questions. Just send them to me. I'm happy to detail it out. But I also don't want to bore you to death with that right now. So gender-affirming care ought to be confronting cultural expectations, not psychological treatments. Totally different ballgame. If somebody has gender dysphoria and I treat psychologically in an effort to get them to fit culturally, that's backwards. It's backwards. They are designed correctly. What they have going on is an internal psychological dilemma around identity. And that is treated through identity work, not through changing identity. Through identity work. That's the big difference. I hope this was abundantly clear because unfortunately it's a reoccurring topic and I wanted to make sure you understood what gender affirming care should be versus what it is. What it can be if done correctly versus the way that it's being projected into the world. It is not a psychological treatment process. It's a cultural treatment process. If you have questions, please reach out. Please email us, you know, like us, follow us, share us with 25,000 million people, whatever you got. I don't know how many people you know, but let people know we're here and we're trying to help them with their conversations. I hope this was helpful and I hope you have a wonderful day. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. We appreciate our audience a lot, so we give you some simple ways to track us down. Please like, subscribe, and follow all the podcasts on different platforms, but you can also email us at healthyperspectives@protonmail.com, or you can check out our website at healthy-perspectives.com/podcast. It's a backward slash. So if you want to go to our landing page, if you go to healthy-perspectives.com, you'll still find us. You just got to click on the podcast button. Thank you so much.